Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We highly advise you not to listen to this podcast. It isn't very good, number one. It rambles a lot. It goes with various subjects, number two. And you may have a seriously bad day having listened to it because it is cursed. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. This week, supported by a great website, TrustedVegas.com.
Oh, God,
Not sure if I've mentioned it yet, but if you know someone who's thinking of going to Vegas, or if you yourself have ever thought of it... Do you know what? I was thinking about Christian a lot this week. Christian Talbot joins us again this week. I was thinking about Christian. Because I listened back to the podcast, and I wish I'd said more clearly... Vegas is about anything you want, and that's why the majority of people would think that Vegas is about girls drinking and gambling, because a lot of people are interested in those three things. But my experience of Vegas, the reason I loved it so much was because that was my expectation, and then I went and I realised that what comes with the most capitalist city in the world, possibly, is also the best food, the best museums, the best day trips, the best, just anything you want to do. You're in this deregulated state. You want to hire a speedboat on Lake Mead, drive up to the Hoover Dam, Christian? Well, there you go. TrustedVegas.com. So, welcome. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Jinx and some other things as we come towards Christmas. But I need to explain something first, right? I woke up this morning, and from the moment I woke up, my day was jinxed. And that is the subject of today. I have literally spent a day just trying to sort shit out. You know, like... In every walk of my life, in everything that I do, somebody had emailed me first thing going, disaster, this thing has fallen apart, can you fix it? And it took me till 4 o'clock today to finally get on top of everything. And I just thought all along the way, I just went, this, nothing like this has happened for a week and everything has happened at once. And then Marcia and Mel both pull out of the podcast for different reasons this week. Jack, we are going to be able to get Jack on. He's at least coming out of his power cut. But then Matt just texted me now saying he has just experienced a power cut, which may mean it's difficult to get hold of him. So is it a coincidence? Is the universe telling us that the week we talk about something called the Jinx, that... We are essentially jinxed, and what it also means for Christian is that it's me, you, and Jamie to begin this podcast.
I'm now worried that something awful is going to happen to me. There's a piano going to fall on my head or some shit like that.
I'm worried for you. I'm worried that just your association with me down Skype is going to... All we can hope is that we can all survive till the end of this podcast.
Well, yeah, my microphone's screwed up as well, hasn't it?
Exactly.
That's a jinx as well.
Exactly.
The freaking jinkathon.
Yeah, although Jamie does sound better now.
He does.
Although you do keep doing something. Are you rubbing your chin on the phone every so often, Jamie?
No, I'm not touching the mic at all with my face.
Christian's got quite a big beard. Are you rubbing your chin? Every so often there's like a sandpaper sound coming from somebody. Well, there we go. So the podcast, jinxed so far, but we'll try and get Jack on in a moment. Christian, have you carried on watching The Wire this week? Of course, you were on last week. You'd never seen The Wire. Christian, watch The Wire. That's where we were.
I've only got a chance to watch one more episode.
Okay.
But I am going to continue on. I am scheduled to watch a couple this evening.
Good.
This podcast. Yeah.
There was that noise again. Who was that? What did you just do?
Was it me?
I don't think it was me.
God, this podcast is a write-off.
Freaking jinx, man. Come on.
Maybe we should just not bother. Let's try and get our work experience boy Jack on the phone. Christian, Just to figure out where everyone is with the Jinx, have you started the Jinx?
I have seen all of the Jinx.
Whoa.
Oh.
And was that before last week, or is that...
It was. You did say to me last week, have I seen the Jinx? And I went, no. And it was only because I didn't recognise the title of it as being what it was.
Oh, yeah, you emailed me afterwards going, is that the one about Robin Ness? hey, Jack, are you there? Jack? Of course he's not. Of course he's not. Why would he be there? It just says he's there. Okay, so Christian's watched it. Jamie, you've watched all of the Jinx, haven't you?
Damn straight.
Okay, and I have as well. So we could be just talking about something we've all seen, but I've got other things to talk about tonight as well. Let's do the news first. What's the latest box set news, Jamie?
Well, of course, theboxsetpod.com/news. This is where I upload all the news. And last week, the nominations for the Golden Globes came out, and it was a snub sesh of the highest order. The Globes are a weird one because they're a bit random. Some of the categories are a bit random. You know, they have like a comedy section, musical section. There's some odd categories, and it's also voted for by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And I'm not saying that they can be bribed, but rumours are that they can be bribed. And what's happened is the nominations have come out. The big snub really is in the TV drama category, where they somehow missed out House of Cards, they've missed out Homeland, they've missed out The Walking Dead, they missed out Downton Abbey, but most bizarrely, they've missed out the final season of Mad Men. How in the world do they not include that in the best TV drama category? Now, having said that, Jon Hamm got a nomination for Best Actor for Don Draper, but Mad Men was amazing. There was an incredible final season. I didn't get a nomination. And I tell you what, does Empire gets one, and Outlander. There's some bizarre shows. So that was another one. In the comedy category, Parks and Recreation's final season didn't get a nomination. Neither the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That got zero nominations. Nothing for Jessica Jones. Netflix didn't do too badly, but lost out in a lot of... lot of TV shows, really. Didn't get a lot for Daredevil, anything like that. But Mad Men was the standout thing that when I saw, I couldn't believe what I was seeing when I saw the drama category. It was absolutely ridiculous.
What the fuck? Mad Men? Who is judging it? I mean, who are the judges?
It's Foreign Press. Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So
have none of them watched Mad Men? I mean, that can be the only answer.
It's weird. I mean, because they've won awards before Mad Men for being awesome, but and you'd think the final season would at least get a nod, like a tip of the cap. Other news, Sherlock's got the Abominable Bride trailer has just come out. The BBC released a trailer for the one-off Victorian special. It's gone New Year's Day. It's going back to ye old Conan Doyle style times, but it's actually not a Conan Doyle story. The story is created and written by Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss, so it's not even like based on a Conan Doyle novel. This could be good or bad. I think the trailer looks really interesting. It looks like they're going for... That, you know, they're not, because one of the things that annoys you, Howell, I know, is that they get too lost in the relationship between Watson and Sherlock. This looks like it's really sort of like just focusing on the mystery and the drama of the actual narrative. And season four returns end of 2016. We'll see the arrival of season four of Sherlock back in modern day London,
right?
Which is good. Channel 5 has bagged X-Files, the revamp of X-Files. It's coming on to Channel 5.
Let's just rewind a minute. Christian, what do you think of Sherlock? Where do you stand on Sherlock?
When it first came on, I was pretty... I didn't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. I thought trying to make a modern-day Sherlock, I thought was just going to be a little bit kind of cheesy. But actually, when I watched it... I thought it was very, very good indeed. But I'm a little bit sceptical about the Christmas episode where it sort of goes back in time. I just don't know how that kind of fits in with, I mean, are they the same characters? Or are they supposed to be the old-fashioned, Sherlock again? Or Just seems a bit gimmicky to me, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Yeah, I agree with that. It could be gimmicky.
Who is it? Is it Matt that does the excellent impression of Moriarty? Which, of
course... Oh, yes, it is.
Which Christian could actually judge because... Oh, that's very good.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah,
he is great, isn't he?
His name escapes. What is his?
Fantastic.
Oh, what's his name?
Sherlock.
Sherlock. It's Andrew Scott is his name.
Hello.
Oh, there he is, Matthew Wandless. Will you just do an impression of Moriarty, please?
That's not very nice to throw that at someone when they're trapped in the dark.
Come on.
Oh, Sherlock, what a lovely evening. It's nice to see you, but no, I'm very angry!
Excellent.
Okay, so Matt is jinxed. Everything has gone wrong today. And
I'm so sorry.
It's because we're talking about the jinx. Marsha's pulled out, Mel's pulled out, Jamie's computer doesn't work, and you have now caught the power cut bug from Jack.
Yeah,
who we also can't get on the phone. So what's going on? You've literally just had a power cut in London, I believe.
I've no idea. I mean, I literally sat down, plugged my mic in, and everything went.
Oh my God! It is. It's the fucking podcast.
That is it. Yeah. Oh.
It is. I mean, that's conclusive. That's absolutely conclusive.
I'm just
so sorry, everyone. I feel like I started it because this started for me at about 6 o'clock this morning. So, has the whole house gone off? What's the situation?
Yeah, everything. Fridge, baby monitor.
I love how fridge is the top of the things to worry about.
Absolutely. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do?
You're going to have to drink all the wine.
No, I'll tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to get a bloody pizza in. What a tragedy.
Excellent.
Well, Matt, I'm just in Manchester, which I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's a city, it's quite near London, but it's much cheaper to buy a house. You get garden space and a driveway and stuff. And I'm just sat here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 lights are on, just soft lights. My Christmas tree is up and the lights are on. I've also got the gas fire on next to me, which of course is imitation open fire. And I'm lying here recording the podcast in front of the fire in just a warm, bright home, really, with a very low mortgage.
It sounds amazing. I don't know why I haven't heard of it. Where is it?
You should come up sometime.
Did you say it's come up?
Yeah.
Is it north of the M25?
I'm afraid it is, yes.
Okay.
It's north of Stoke Newington.
That explains a lot. That explains the way you talk, the way the TV shows you like, the way the podcast has never been interrupted for your wine delivery.
This is true. Well, Matt, best of luck to you down there. I take it you have seen the Jinx.
I saw the first episode, and I was very intrigued.
Oh shit! You've only seen the first episode, so you are the only person.
I only watched the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, you're the only person this week who can be the guinea pig.
Oh, no.
Oh, so let's...
Of course, we can't actually say anything about the ending then either, can we?
No, we can't. Why don't you give us...
Damn right.
Let's see if we can squeeze this the entire court session into 1 minute. Matthew, how did you find the first episode?
Well, I mean, what I was going to say was I think it's unfair to judge it on the first episode because it's a grabber and I'm really interested.
Yeah.
But they don't give an awful lot away in the first episode.
So give us the blurb. What is it? For anyone who's not seen it, what is the Jinx?
It's about a man who's part of a very wealthy Manhattan... they seem to be property owners. That seems to be all they do. They just have all these amazing properties.
Yes.
At one point, they reel off all the addresses, and I just noticed one of them's on Times Square, so that might be quite expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe not as expensive as London, but we'll see. Mm. it's about a member of this family who sort of goes rogue, and is accused of murder, a couple of murders. And then when he's arraigned for one of them, he disappears and then sort of crops up a few years later in Texas and is accused of another one. And that's about as far as I got, really. It's the start of his legal process. And yeah.
And we should point out.
And he's about to do an interview with the director of the director of the film that was made about his life.
That's correct. So it's quite a lot in the first episode, because I remember the first episode is basically just showing like a chopped up body and stuff. And we should point out to anyone that doesn't know, this is a true story.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, true story.
True story. Okay, well, thanks, Matt. And so I take it you're going to carry on with it.
I am going to carry on, yeah.
Okay. What's your favourite Christmas film, Matt?
Die Hard.
Die Hard. What's your second favourite Christmas film? Better be Muppet's Christmas Carol.
It is Muppet's Christmas Carol, yeah.
Good, good. Good. And what's your third favourite Christmas film, Matthew?
Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Lovely. Good. All right. Well, have you got any questions for us, the court, on the Jinx?
No, I don't want to know anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I believe Jack might be here now. Jack?
I am.
Oh! Yes. Jack, why don't you... are you still in a power cut? Okay, Matt, say goodbye, everyone, to Matt, who has caught the power cut off Jack. Bye, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
Bye. Godspeed.
Godspeed. There he goes in Dickensian London. Jack, why don't you tell us now what Matt is about to experience? Matt's just had a power cut.
I haven't watched Fear the Walking Dead, but I know it's about the start of the zombie apocalypse, and I can guarantee that program will start with a power cut. That's how it makes me feel. It is horrible.
Well,
absolutely horrible.
Is it? How long did it last for? Are you still experiencing it?
About a week.
Oh, overall. My God.
And all the shops were shut, so you couldn't go and buy anything. And everywhere was flooded, so you couldn't go anywhere. And ever since then, the internet connection has been shoddy. So that's why it all of a sudden went down before.
Yeah, you are a bit you're a bit shaky as well, but let's keep you as long as we can. Welcome to the Jinxed podcast, Jack. So, Jack, meet Christian. Christian was on last week. I don't suppose you've
Hello, Jack.
I don't suppose you've heard the podcast from last week, have you?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
So where do you live exactly? It's Lancaster, is it?
Yeah, it's just outside of Lancaster.
And there's literally, like, the streets have been water, have they?
Well, water and, like, a lot of shit.
Really?
You didn't see that on the BBC News. Should have done a bit on the shit in the streets, man. That would have really got me.
Yeah, you join me now, surrounded by shit in the streets. It's been this way for a week now. Jack joins me. He's really pissed off. He's trying to get into Safeway to get a pack of fags. Unbelievable. That sounds horrendous. Do you think if people lived in London, look, now we've not got any Londoners on the podcast here. Do you think if this was in London and it was a week of power cut, do you think people would have stood for it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I didn't really see much of the news. I didn't have any sort of access to it. But from what I have seen of it, it was sort of, oh, there's a few floods, a bit out of hand, nothing to be worried about.
Yeah,
so I think you mean don't people would have kicked off rather than they'd have stood for it. But yes.
There'd be a national emergency, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Definitely.
They'd bring in the soldiers and all that shit.
Yeah, big time. Frightening. You saw what happened with those riots. Have them every week, don't you, Christian?
Riots? No, I'm not here anymore. Well, all not right. Where I am.
Well, that's good. That's good. I was just trying to think of the last London disaster of any kind. And just thought
that
the riots. Yeah. So you're all right now, Jack?
Just about, yeah. There's still a bit of lasting repercussions of roads not being opened and stuff like that, but all the shit's been cleared in the streets. So.
Tell us about the shit, Jack.
Well, it was just sort of whizzing around all in the water.
Could you see, were you actually looking at fully formed turds?
Well, see, where I am, it's all countryside, so it's more animal than human.
Oh.
And how could you tell?
Just by the, by the size. If a human's producing that, then... So, yeah. Not
quite
nice.
A distinctive smell, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Was it... So what do you... okay. Any other highlights of living with a power cut for a week, Jack? What's it mean in the house?
It means the first day you bond a lot, and after the first day you hate a lot.
That's great. I love that. Oh, do you know what? We've stopped looking at our screens all the time. We're together as a family. Day two. Get the fucking TV working! Brilliant. Well, it's nice to have you back. Maybe the one good thing that could come out of this is that maybe Jack didn't have time to watch the whole of the Jinx. Did you watch the whole of the Jinx?
I missed episode 5. Apart from that, I've watched... I skipped
what?
The last one.
Hang on a minute. You missed the last episode?
No, I've watched the last episode. I skipped episode 5, though, the one before the last episode.
Okay.
Why?
I just didn't have time to fit it in. Busy schedule and not much power.
Okay, all right. So there's now 3 of us here, 4 of us who have watched the Jinx. So I think that's it for this week. Thanks, everyone. everyone watched the Jinx, yeah?
Everyone's watched it. Pretty good, isn't it?
How can we talk about the Jinx without spoiling the Jinx?
There's no way.
I don't think we can. Yeah, it's impossible.
I think the only thing go on, Christian, go on.
I think I could give one criticism of it.
Oh.
Is that it is overly long. It is stretched out. It could easily have been fitted into... How many episodes? Was 6 episodes?
Yeah,
6.
It could have been easily fitted into 5 or 4.
They said... And I think... I mean, Michael Jackson said the children are the future, and Jack being essentially a child, I think he's figured it out for us, Christian. I think he was right watch 5 episodes, because I agree with you. In that last episode, I was like, it was an entire episode building up to an amazing ending. You know, all credit to them. And to be honest, if I'd got a scoop like that, I think I'd have probably milked it for all it's worth as well. But it was definitely, it went from telling his story to telling the filmmaker's story a little bit too much towards
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're criticising something phenomenal, aren't we?
Yes. It's very worthwhile watching. The other thing I would say is, and I don't know if you guys sort of kind of noticed this, but it was a kind of a running joke. With myself and my wife and my friend Sharon as we were watching it a while back. And that's the theme music. I just think the theme music is totally inappropriate for the for
the
show.
Remember it.
It seems like it should be theme music for a... Sorry?
Well, go on. Feel like it should be theme music for what?
I just it sounds like it should be the theme music for something like True Detective or something, rather than...
Oh, yeah. I understand what you mean.
What is it? Just overly mysterious? Is it a bit?
No, I just think it's kind of just a little bit too sort of raw. It's a little bit kind of too rocky, I think, for a. I just don't know. It just kind of jarred a little bit with it. I did like it. I do like the theme, but I just didn't think it wouldn't have been my first choice.
Well, they do have. I mean, the filmmakers clearly wear beards, don't they? And you can't really trust anyone who wears a beard. So.
That's what you say.
The one thing we have to say very clearly is that if you've never watched The Jinx, The Lives and Deaths of Robert Durst, never do not Google it to find out. Don't Google anything about it, because it'll come up with news stories about it that will ruin what is one of the best documentaries that you'll ever see, I think. What was funny for me was that I got to the end episode and it took me right up until the last moment, right up until that point when you realise something is happening. And I realised that I had lay in the bath about 6 months ago and actually read/watched/listened to the thing that happens. I'd read a news story. And luckily, I have such a crap memory, I couldn't remember. And yeah. It only occurred to me just before it happened. But, I mean, that's all. We just can't say anymore, can we?
No. Yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? I mean, the character Robert Durst is just he's the most fascinating, just totally engaging and creepy individuals, and it's what makes the show so good. He's how unpredictable his behavior, yeah. and then when when the interview, because I didn't the first episode, you don't, they just it's about him, and then they get the interviews with him, and he's just fascinating to hear talk as well. That's the thing about it, he's just an amazing subject to just focus on.
Yeah.
Blinking as well. The blinking I found just him.
Yeah.
Constant blinking.
Yeah, he's a man with a lot of nervous tics and.
Yeah, he does.
Burps, but I get those burps as well sometimes when I'm nervous, or if someone talks to me about like a meeting that I'm terrified of having or something, I start belching that acid reflux.
I could imagine you, Howell, just stealing sandwiches from a supermarket as well quite easily. that is something I imagine you can do in your spare time just to keep yourself excited by life.
I can't believe that I've turned into the bum joke rather than Jamie. Unbelievable. Use iTunes and just write the Jinx into
it. Should like, this isn't even a, it's not a box set in the sense that it's not like a running series of shows. It's just a one-off five episodes investigation.
Right.
And that makes it easier to just get into, because some people get a bit scared by a long series, don't they? So there you go.
That was the beauty of it as well. It was like, oh, this is short. In fact, The Walking Dead was a lot shorter than I thought. Like, there's not as many episodes as you get in a lot of series. But I can't believe that I haven't mentioned already that every box set for the last few weeks I've been moaning about The Good Wife, right? Saying that I don't understand why I should give a shit about these people. And a while ago, our internet department, known as Adam, mentioned on an email to Jamie, he said, oh, Jamie, The Good Wife, didn't see that coming. And ever since, for like 5 months, ever since, I've been thinking, what is this thing that he was referencing? Well, today, my wife and I sat down and watched an episode.
You saw what was coming.
That made us shit out of our mouths.
Oh, whoa.
That's what a phenomenal... oh, my God, Jamie.
Great, yeah.
I'm so glad that you persuaded me to stick with it, because after four series of almost mind-numbing shite, something happens that genuinely, you set up this... Basically, you set up this series that is like, background noise friendly, like Chuck or something like that. That kind of stuff that I like to just put on at the end of a hard day or a slow day stealing sandwiches. And then all of a sudden... they do something within that program that just makes you go, you've just messed with my entire evening. And nothing will ever be the same again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, Jack, Christian, have either of you watched The Good Wife?
I've never watched it.
Jack hasn't. Christian's watched the first couple of what, series or episodes?
No, first couple of episodes, but I didn't really take to it.
No. Well, it does get better, Christian. I would still advise watching Chuck over it, but that said, oh my God, Jamie, and anyone who's seen, just, oh my God.
It totally comes out of nowhere, doesn't it, as well?
Yes, it does. It comes out of nowhere. And my wife and I just went, what the effing F? What? And then I had to go and have a massage, right? Because that's... I'm not as a result. I just had one booked. And so I went and had a massage. I had 5 minutes to get to the massage after this finished, this episode. I couldn't enjoy the massage. I was just lying there going, what the F? What the F just happened?
They should put that onto the blurb at the front of the box set.
Yes.
So I shot out of my mouth and had to have a massage. Five stars.
And then my wife went to the gym, and it was like a 2-hour gap in between watching this episode and seeing each other again. First thing she said when she walked through the doors, "What the F happened?" It was like she hadn't got over it either.
How long do you have to go into the series to get this bombshell?
Oh yeah, four seasons.
Good four and a half
seasons.
Yeah, good 4.5 seasons.
Wow.
That is winter, spring, summer, and autumn.
Those are I don't know if I would have the patience just for that payoff.
What can I say? Was it worth it? I think it probably was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, was it? Or am I just, is it just like cabin fever and finally someone's opened the porthole?
It was worth it, Howell. God damn it.
Yeah, well, I certainly think that things are going to get a lot more exciting and grown up from here on in. I think it's just trusting that, first of all, Christian, the beginning of The Good Wife just looks shit. It's not got any style, this programme. That gets better. And then you get to the point that I've described where you're going, why do I care about these fucking rich lawyers, just really, really rich people? And I'm supposed to be siding one against the other, and they're all just abusing the truth in order to make $1 million. And then something happens and you go, oh, now that's interesting. It doesn't really change the fact that they're all fuckers, but it's kind of good. But
I was under the impression when I saw, I remember, this is going to sound terrible, but when it first came out, I happened to be in New York when it came out, and there was big billboards of Margulies, is that her name?
Yeah, Juliana Margulies.
Juliana Margulies. And there's big billboards of her up everywhere, and I thought, ooh, that looks really good. So I'm quite a fan of hers. I quite like her.
Yeah.
I liked her like an Eeyore and stuff like that. So
yeah.
And I watched the first couple of episodes, and I was expecting it to be more like House of Cards or something like that. That sort of vibe from it.
Yeah.
When it wasn't, I sort of went, ah, no.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much the ER of its generation, really. You know, it's that kind of mainstream fodder, I think. But it is better than that. You know, it is good. Whereas ER, I think, went completely tits up 5 seasons in. This one's like suddenly seemingly changing gear, improving with age, I think. What is very sad is that Ridley Scott and his brother Tony Scott are the executive producers, and their names always come up at the end of the credits and at the beginning of the credits, and there's a point at which it just turns to Ridley because, of course, Tony commits suicide.
Oh, yeah.
That's very sad, that.
That is very sad, yeah.
You think about a good venture, good brotherly venture that was going on there. And, suicide's not very nice. That's the message of today's podcast. so please try and avoid it.
Jinxed. Suicide is not.
Yeah. Hey, we've not done the chart this week. Are you interested in knowing what the top 10 are this week?
Absolutely.
Outlander's at number 10. Come on, Jack. Have you watched it?
Nope, I don't even know what it's about.
Nah, neither do we. Number 9 is Luther. Luther, has anyone had a good Luther recently?
Amazing, yeah. Fantastic.
Oh dear, do you love it, Jack?
I think it's brilliant. I'm so excited for the Christmas special as well.
Yeah, it's coming up soon, isn't it? Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Jack was...
I've never watched it, but I think because of the Christmas special, because I saw the trailer for it, and I thought, I'll probably give this a go.
It's got the Sky Guy on it again.
Idris Elbert, Stringer Bell from The Wire. So Jack, you missed The Wire episode last week. Have you? You've not watched The Wire, have you?
No, never seen it.
A lot of people are put off by Luther because it's not Stringer Bell, and Stringer Bell is such a massive character. I found it very hard to watch Luther after watching The Wire because it just suddenly seemed like a shit British thing. Compared to The Wire, did you watch it, Jamie?
Yeah, I've watched all of Luther, and I do like it, but yeah, I don't think it's like I think it's a level below a lot of the best stuff. But he is engaging though. He's a good like charismatic presence on screen, and I'm just not a massive fan. Like, I know people do love it though, and it's won a lot of awards.
I've been thinking about good things to watch at Christmas recently, and at number 8 in the chart this week is one that I've found a particular favourite, and it's Fargo. Oh. Have we been watching the latest series of Fargo, anybody?
Struggling with season two, I have to say. I'm going to watch it all, but it's like it's a lot. I don't know why, but it just feels really heavy without having the sort of lighter touch of the first season, and I've not got into it as yet, but I am going to finish it.
What light touch did the first season have?
I don't know what it was. I think it was Billy Bob Thornton's character was so engaging, so... like so wonderfully like horrible, and then you had the really pathetic Martin Freeman character. And I don't know, this season's been quite just really, like, I found it really hard going, like a bit more of a slog.
Point taken. But, try watching it on a Sunday, that's my advice. I found that I struggled during the week because it does require a bit of patience, but when it comes to the weekend and things are a bit, you know, the world's a bit slower, it's just brilliant, and we're up to date with it at the moment. It's so good. Have either of you two been watching it?
Watched the first like four episodes of the first series, and again, I just didn't get into it. And I think the main reason is it's just Martin Freeman. I just couldn't believe Martin Freeman.
I always had a problem with Freeman as well, Christian. I have to say, I'm different from Jamie. I've actually preferred this second series. Billy Bob was great in the first, but I, like you, have always had an issue with what is... I think he's probably an excellent actor.
Yeah.
He's
totally miscast, I think, in it. I just wasn't believable.
Yeah, but I don't really buy him as Dr. Watson in a way either. He's someone who plays... He plays himself in that same way that lots of people do, like Tom Hanks and people, I suppose. Maybe it's his mannerisms that just seem so demonstrative. He always seems to be displaying so much that in person I would want to smack him around the face.
Do you know what it is, Hal? Do you know? And I've pinpointed this about Martin Freeman before. I've had this discussion with some people, and they've all gone, "Oh yeah." And it's in everything that he does, whether it be the Office or The Hobbit or Sherlock or Fargo, he has this one tick that he does all the time, this one kind of acting tick, which is that he does a double take, this kind of double That's take it. With his eyes rolled.
That's it.
So he sort of looks up into the air like, oh, God, like that. Just this undisbelieving double take. And I think it just ruins everything. He should be told not to do it.
You're absolutely right. It's demonstrative. If my wife rolls her eyes in front of me, I tell her that I'm going to punch her, and then of course she gets me in a headlock and insists that that will never happen. I've never told my wife I'm going to punch her. I've certainly never punched her. But I always wonder, who are you performing for? If somebody ever rolls their eyes, it's for the benefit of somebody other than the one other person in the conversation. You know, it's showing the world that I am annoyed with you, and he does it. He does it in so many ways.
Constantly.
I think mine's. I like him. I mean, I know what you mean, though. He has like almost like his fallback mannerisms that he uses, but I think he's perfectly cast for that role. He's such a light. He's such a dick in Fargo. He's such a and he's such a weasel. And it's a lot like the William H. Macy character in the actual film, isn't he, in that way? But I thought he was really well cast. And I know what you mean. Early on, I found it in the first couple episodes, I was like, what's Martin Freeman doing in this? This is weird. I did gradually get used to him, and I really thought he got really good near the end. So, I think you just have to get used to him a little bit. But
yeah, you're wrong, obviously. But Jack, Jack, what annoys you about Martin Freeman?
I think he's all right, to be honest. I think he's getting a bit of a bad rep here. I don't like him in Fargo. I've watched the first season of Fargo. I didn't really like him in that, probably because I love Sherlock so much. But then I only really love that because of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Maybe he's amazing. I certainly think that Fargo is something that is well worth sticking with, Christian, because I think you'll change your mind about Martin's talents somewhat. Season two really is worth sticking with. Kirsten Dunst's character gets better and funnier. There's a scene in the last episode that was out. There is a whole bit of business, basically in a cabin in the woods. And it is one of the funniest scenes that I've seen. You know, that Coen Brothers world of, like, when they really start getting very funny in a very dark way. It's brilliant. And it just begins to snowball, which is why I think it's a good thing to watch at Christmas, because of the snowballs. Let's move on. At number 7, Only Fools and Horses, speaking of Christmas. At number 5, Homeland. No, number 6, Homeland.
Brilliant. The last episode, there's one more to come. The last episode I watched of Homeland was just insanely intense. I mean, it's just the tension in my body when I'm watching Homeland is worth the fee. It's amazing.
Okay. Well, as if you pay for anything. Walking Dead, Car Share, Big Bang Theory, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, that's the rest of the chart, which hasn't changed for a long time. But interestingly, the algorithm department this week, who can't join us this week because he is at the cast and crew screening of the latest Star Wars movie.
I can't give you any more information
on that, because both Ben and I will be shot if we discuss it. But how about that?
That's crazy.
But he does point out, other than mentioning that, that positions 11 and 12 in the chart are Better Call Saul and The Complete Breaking Bad. So there's some proper good quality knocking on that door of shite.
Game of Thrones, you know that they're starting to show Game of Thrones from the very beginning on Sky from Saturday night. Yes.
There you go. If you've never watched it before,
do
now's
it.
Now's your chance to get do on board. It. I watched a Christmas film this week that I didn't realise how good this was. Let's talk comedy with Christian Talbot now. Mm-hmm. Christian, when was the last time you watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Oh, last year, last Christmas.
I wrote off this as a child in a way, because I saw it as quite a fairly, because it was on in the 80s. I just sort of imagined that it was, yeah, it was funny, but it was funny when I was 8. That film is, you know, it's perfect. It's a perfect comedy film. It's almost exactly 90 minutes. I think it's 92 minutes. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing. You get straight in, like, straight in. He's trying to attach a million lights to the house within 5 minutes of that film starting. And it's just scene after scene after scene of sitcom, brilliant characters. And something that I think is very different nowadays, when you think of Will Ferrell and people, the central character, Chevy Chase, he doesn't play stupid. He doesn't need to over-exaggerate himself.
No.
Or in Ben Stiller's case, kind of under-weird himself, under-exaggerate. Chevy Chase is this perfect balance between being really normal and looking at these bizarre characters that turn up in his life, you know, and acting as us, the audience, whilst also being a little bit naive and a little bit stupid and those things which will, you know, help it along. But it just seems that he manages to pull off what are amazing comic setups with naturalism, with like a naturalistic ease that I don't think we see anymore. I don't think we see it.
No, I don't think so.
Tell us about comedy, Christian.
Well, I think he's... I think it's all the more funnier now that when you see... when you see him in Community and you know that there's been the whole... I mean, Chevy Chase is not a nice man. And I think that's kind of well known in the entertainment
industry. Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Here we go. Another lawsuit this week.
No, but he's pretty. No. I don't think I'm defaming him in any way. But I think there's plenty on the internet. Just Google Chevy Chase, and I think you'll see some of the terrible things and he's said to people and how rude he's been to them.
But really?
But I think it makes it all the funnier than actually seeing him in stuff like the any of the National Lampoon films, you know, The Vacation or The Christmas. I still think he's wonderful. I still think he's brilliant.
So what?
I think he's a fantastic actor, and I love everything that he's ever. I love everything he's done on Saturday Night Live. I recently rewatched some of the first series of Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Where he was on it, and John Belushi and
Bill Murray
and Bill Murray and those sort of guys on it. And it is absolutely, I mean, I still think it's absolutely fantastic. So, but again, I think kind of there was a sort of a golden age, I think, back in American comedy, where you had Chevy Chase and Steve Martin and Steve Guttenberg and all these sort of guys that you don't really hear very much of, that don't do an awful lot these days, but they were kind of a comedy gang. And I kind of look on a lot of those sort of the films that they did in those days sort of very nostalgically. So, even though he's an awful man, but he's very, very funny.
What sort of awful things has he done?
Has he done?
Allegedly.
I can't really repeat it, but if you Google the voicemail that he sent to, what's his name? The creator of Community.
Harmon. Dan Harmon.
Yeah, Mark Harmon. Is it Mark Harmon? No, not Mark Harmon.
Dan, I think.
Dan Harmon. Can you Google Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase and listen to the voicemail that Chevy Chase left him.
It's just a fucking mediocre sitcom, is one quote. Obviously I can't play it on here, I don't think, but I'm just trying to find some quotes. Yeah,
it's very easily found.
It ain't funny to me because I'm 67 years old and I've been doing this a long time. I've been making a lot of people laugh a lot better than this. It's just a fucking mediocre sitcom. But you see,
he had Dan Harmon, I think, fired from. Dan Harmon was sort of fired from doing one season of Community, and then he had to come back, and then they had to work together again, which I just find hilarious. I mean, just imagine how awkward that is. I mean, that was just horrendous stuff.
Well, I think when Dan Harmon returned, Chevy had left.
Oh, he'd left. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, just awkwardness. Absolute awkwardness.
Wow. Horrendous. Well, you know what? I think that you're talking about this golden age, and I think as well that the golden age has something to do with huge ego and and as Jamie and I found in the radio industry, more and more of our experience taught us that there are two ways of being left alone to do your job. One is to have huge listening figures, but even then, you need to probably have something of the second, which is to have the balls or the ego to actually say to someone who wants to give you feedback, say to them, fuck off, this is my this is my shop kind of thing. And if you do that, you very quickly, unless you've got the figures to fall back on, you're going to very quickly be branded an ego. I see more and more that it seems like the people who survive are the ones who are able somehow to ring fence their creativity. And those guys, when you look at Bill Murray's Christmas special on Netflix, which I love, you look at those guys and you go, that's the world they came from. And it's because they came from being people like Christian here, stand-up comics, who have to have the fearlessness to go and stand in front of so many people and bear their bollocks every night. If you've got that kind of, that bit of your brain is missing that tells you that this isn't a sensible thing to do, that bit of fear is missing. Perhaps what comes with that is also the ability to just throw a bottle of scotch at somebody and tell them to get out, which sounds like the kind of thing Chevy Chase might do.
Yeah, I don't know. What do people say that you've either got to be? I can't remember the three. There's three things, or four things, or something. But you can only be three of them, which is you can be talented and a horrible person and professional. I can't remember what it is now. But yeah, basically, you really need to, if you're going to be a really terrible person, you've got to have the talent to back it up.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to be saleable.
Yeah.
You've got to be popular. And then then you can sort of get away with it. But then once that popularity wanes, then it's everybody, the knives are out for you then, I think.
Yeah. And you don't have to be a dick with the ego. It's more having the balls to, because I don't imagine that Bill Murray is an not a nice person. Mm-hmm. I imagine he's just an aloof person who minds his own business and doesn't suffer fools, you know.
But,
so I don't think you have to be horrible to people, but I do think you have to have the confidence, the self-confidence to go, I'm not engaging with this shit.
Yeah. Well, I think that the two of them, I mean, Bill Murray and Chevy Chase famously had a punch up during the first season of Saturday Night Live as well. Bill Murray, he was rude to, Chevy Chase was rude to somebody, and Bill Murray walked up to him and just punched him right in the face, and they had a, they took them a long time to kind of be civil to one another again after that.
Who put which one punched which one?
Oh, Bill Murray punched Chevy Chase for being a dick to someone.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
I think he left. At that point, Chevy Chase had said he was leaving and he was going off to do his own show and going off to do, which I think was called the Chevy Chase Show, which was a disaster. I think he did like two or three episodes of it and then it was pulled, but it was an absolute disaster.
Wow. Well, let's just say National Lampoon's, the joke writing, the everything about that film is so much more perfect than I remember. I think it just is perfect. Jamie, have you got anything to add? Oh, did you watch? I was going to ask you. Did you watch the Bill Murray, Very Murray Christmas?
Yeah. I thought it was quite good. Didn't think it was brilliant, but there's a lot of bad singing.
Yeah, there is.
They destroyed Fairy Tale of New York. I mean,
And what's the dude who was singing it? He's quite famous.
So. Oh, the one from the New York Dolls.
Yeah,
forgotten his name, but I can't remember now.
He really didn't know the lyrics for it, did he?
Yeah,
he was
making
it up quite a lot. But that was the beauty of the whole thing, didn't you think? It was like
it's kind
George
of,
Clooney stepping out from behind the Christmas tree.
Yeah, no, that was great. There was some funny bits in it, and it's bad when like you kind of. But I did feel like, oh God, thank God Miley Cyrus is here because she could sing. I can't believe I said that, but I actually felt that during the show. But you know, it's fun to watch. I just felt like it was a little bit. Sort of hard to get used to the bad singing, and it feels like you're just watching a lot of people drunk having a good time.
That was exactly what I loved about it, is that it was this collection of, you know, Jason Schwartzman's band. Jason, is it Schwartzman?
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman, who we interviewed. So I think we're now one step away from Bill Murray. You know, the fact that he got Jason in with his band is... Brilliant.
Oh, no, that band was Phoenix. That's the band.
Oh.
The lead singer of Phoenix is married or in a relation with Sofia Coppola, who directed it. So
yeah, it is quite incestuous.
Yeah, but Jason Schwartzman actually plays the drums for a band.
Yeah, he joins in. He was in that band that did that song California, wasn't it?
Yes, he was. Yes, that's right. I just loved it. I just loved it. Jack, have you watched A Very Merry Christmas? Of course you haven't.
It's on my to-watch list on Netflix, if that counts for anything.
Your to-watch list on Netflix is a shoebox with Netflix written on it. It felt like and a list drawn in sheep shit on the wall of the living room. There's your to-do list.
I have started watching Life on Mars about 10 years late to the party.
Have you?
But I've just started watching that and I absolutely love it.
Do you? Wow.
I love some aspects of it. Other aspects are a bit cringy and a bit like, you know, DCI Gene Hunt getting into his car, pulling handbrake turns.
Yeah. You're wasting your time, Jack. Watch some of the stuff that we tell you to watch instead. Well, listen, this has been a very, very long rambling nothing, this podcast, and I can only apologise. We'd have had people... What?
So I've just got a text now off my friend who is cousins with Joseph Gilgan, saying that she's just about to talk to him on the phone, who's Woody from This Is England.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So that might pull through. Sometime in the future, that might just pull through.
We might get a star courtesy.
Let's keep fingers crossed.
Oh, well, we need something because, you know, this is it's flogging a dead horse tonight.
Can I ask a very practical question?
Yes, Christian.
If I am to watch either another episode, to continue on with The Wire this evening, or to watch Luther, which should I do?
The Wire.
The Wire, okay.
Without any question of a doubt.
Wire, yeah.
Wire. Okay, fair enough. That's my question answered.
I'm sorry, Jack. What you're currently watching, you may think it's good, but, you know, I thought Blue Nun was nice when I was your age. And then I tasted wine made straight from the vineyards of France, in France.
I have this problem where anything that's sort of pre-2000, just sort of write it off, apart from The Sopranos, and that was because I was forced into watching it, and I watched it, and I did love it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I just see, like, The Wire, and it just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, and how's Mad Men going?
Not very well.
Oh, crack on, sir, crack on. It will get going, I promise you.
I'll try my best.
Okay, hopefully next week we're joined by a Muppet Man. Anybody is welcome to join again, same time, same place, and we will pick the energy up, we'll pick the electricity up, hopefully we'll all be
here. Are you guys going to go and see Star Wars, by the way, this week?
Is it this weekend, is it?
Definitely.
I'm going to go tomorrow night, I think.
Oh!
Yeah. I've never liked Star Wars, so persuade me to watch it.
What?
If you don't like Star Wars, then don't watch it. Really.
If you've not watched Star Wars, don't bother with it.
Get it on pretty much any level. It just bores the shit out of me, and I don't know why.
How? I don't understand how.
Bad acting.
I think your inner child is dead, Howell. I think that's what's wrong.
Maybe that's it. But even as a child, I could never watch it. I was like, what's the... Yes, people in these white suits wondering about good versus... I don't know. I liked Chewbacca and Harrison Ford, obvs. But then even the Ewoks and stuff, it always looked to me like it was a stage, you know, like it was slightly Amdram. Like there was like... I know that there's some children put in those sacks, and they're wandering around as Ewoks.
Children put in sacks.
Children in sacks. Or small people in sacks. It all felt like an extras thing, you know? It was like Christian with his extras experience.
It's not for you. I'm not going to try and persuade you. I think you made some very valid points.
But you should. Everyone should be trying to persuade. I mean, yeah, I know I should. I will go and watch it, though. I went to watch the other ones and, you know.
I don't think you won't like it. I know now you won't like it.
No, you're missing something. This one is Disney, Christian. If there is one company that can sort out Star Wars, right?
Here we go.
If there's one company that can make it a little bit more accessible for people like me, then that will be it. It'll be Disney.
I've never heard anybody say that Star Wars wasn't accessible.
Accessible for... I just wasn't a boy. You know, I didn't play football. I've always thought my penis is a good size. I kind of just didn't need the lightsaber. And,
were you even thinking of lightsabers as a phallic symbol when you were a child?
I think you all were. Muppet Man next week, hopefully, talking Boardwalk Empire, but we'll see. If not, maybe we'll do a Christmas special. So thanks, everybody. And look, we've made it all. We've all made it alive to the end of the Jinxed podcast.
Yay!
Let's record a message for the start of this podcast. We highly advise you not to listen to this podcast. It isn't very good, number one. It rambles a lot.
Guys.
Thanks all again. Right.
Thank you. Again.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck with the shit.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.